Oh, hey, welcome to the Single and Sewing Podcast. I'm your host once, Leah, and I'm glad that you're here. Now, before you go anywhere or try to figure out what's happening, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for who you are. Thank you for each and every episode, oh God, that is released from this platform, oh God. I pray that I decrease and you increase, oh God. I pray, oh God, that episode from this platform, oh God, will be a blessing, oh God, to your people, oh God, to the source, oh God, to the listeners, oh God. Father, I pray, oh God, that you, the people that you've already, oh God, cultivated for this space, oh God, will reach this space, oh God. I pray, oh Lord Jesus, oh God, that people will just be blessed and lives will be transformed, oh God. Have your way and take your place, oh God, because I know you're the King of glory, oh God. I know you're the King of kings and Lord of lords, and that there is no one like you and none can be compared to you, oh God. Thank you. Amen. Now let's get into it.
Thank you, Wansalia. Hi, everyone. I'm Rakia, a colleague of Wansalia. I thank you so much for putting me on the spotlight and having this opportunity to be a guest on the Single and Soaring podcast this episode. I am super excited about what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, I am too. I feel like this has been like a work in progress. Like,
yeah.
It's just been something that just needed to happen, but... it needed to happen. I had to breathe on that one because what? It needed to happen, and I don't think I like it. But yeah. Okay. It's part of the process.
Absolutely. Okay. Amen to growth.
Amen to growth. So what are we talking about today, girl?
I'm glad you asked. Today we're going to be going over a topic that is sometimes misconstrued to the social world, and that is the concept of grieving or grief to some. So today's podcast episode is focusing on grieving in the rubble when it all falls apart. Are you ready?
You know what? Actually, when you said that, I just remember some things. I'm like, what? Once you just breathe, because what? I am.
Okay. So, with that, I want you all to just think about, what do you do when the ground beneath you crumbles? And when the people you leaned on are no longer there. And when the grief is so heavy that you feel like drowning. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about grief in our seasons of compounded loss. And a lot of the stories that you're going to hear tonight is going to be very personal and intimate and near and dear to our hearts.
Yep.
So if you're in a season of grief, listening or watching these podcast episodes, whether it's been a loss of a loved one, a relationship, or a sense of stability, then we encourage you to, you know, lean on your nearest support system, because this episode is for you. And we're going to unpack how to grieve with God at the forefront and how to process that pain without getting stuck, and how to find the hope in the rubble.
Ooh, the hope in the rubble. That's a mouthful.
It is.
But you know what? I like what
what you said, though, that you said grief. Like, it's not just about, because sometimes when we think about grief, we just think about like, oh man, I've just lost a family member and that's the only time I need to grieve. But what if you have to grieve someone who's actually still alive?
Alive, yeah.
But I don't want to run ahead, but like just
she's excited. She's excited.
Just think about that. If you have to grieve someone who is still alive, what mm-hmm. does that even look like?
Yeah, that's like the icebreaker question. Just think about that, you know? Yeah. Before we dive into the story aspect of tonight's podcast, I want you to sit with a little research that was founded with the Barna Group study.
Yep.
They put together a study that found out that 72% of Christians struggle to reconcile their faith with their grief, particularly when loss feels relentless. Relentless. 72%.
72, that is so high.
Mm-hmm.
As a believer, when faith is like everything.
Absolutely.
I'm processing that one. Is that what? 72?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We also found that the American Association of Christian Counselors, this study was done in 2022, reports that those who engage in intentional grieving practices like journaling, prayer, seeking community, experience a 45% increase in emotional stability and a 37% decrease in feelings of isolation.
Whoa.
Yeah. So grieving well doesn't mean you get over it. And that's really what we want to like focus on tonight, because that goes into the context and concept of healing. We sometimes think that it is a timeline or a deadline. There's a time and date for grief and healing and your journeys being complete. All these feelings are gone. It's not. That grieving does not mean that, and it does more harm than justice for your soul and for your mental. So we just want that grieving just means that I let it go and I let God.
You know, we say let go and let God sometimes, but do we really, really let go and let God?
Do we?
Or do we just, you know, just sit with
it? Try to control it.
Oh, whoa. We got a guest, okay? She's coming in hot. She said we try to control it.
Come on now.
So does that mean we be controlling? We want to control our grief? That's why we don't grieve better?
Maybe. I think that we try to control a lot of things that's outside of our control, you know?
Okay. Let me breathe first.
Let's breathe.
Maybe we should exercise that.
Before we get started tonight, there's a lot of terms that I think we're going to have to break down in this podcast for those who might not understand it. Because even in the description of today's episode of Reconcile.
Yeah.
Like, what does reconcile mean?
What does that even look like?
Right. What does that look like? I think we should have, like, a little dictionary, you know? Reconcile, isolation, stability, grief. I'm going to look up. You're going to look at. I'm recording on my phone, you all, so I can't look it up.
Wow. Let's see. So, grief. I'm going to give it to you.
Grief. Feel grief for or because of. Cause great distress to someone. Okay. I like to look into it.
Wow.
Mourn, lament, hurt, wound. Yes.
Oh.
Lament.
Lament is really good because.
Mourn.
Lament is really good because I think a lot of us don't really know how to lament.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to talk about the darkest things.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to feel like, oh man, I'm too overbearing. Because maybe you're just not in a great space, or the people around you are not holding space for you to really lament. And it's okay if people don't have the capacity or the bandwidth to do that with you. But guess who you have? You have Jesus.
Absolutely.
Like, you can talk to God about your situation and say, Lord, today is rough. I don't know what to do. We see people in the Bible that did that. And I would say lament, the word lament resonated with me, because guess what? I've actually been lamenting a lot lately. I've been lamenting a lot lately. I feel like I've been grieving a lot.
That's good.
Lately as well. So this is something that I'm like, huh, lament?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a story?
I do.
Yeah.
I have something.
Do you feel like you've been in a season of grief?
Yes. I actually would say that I'm coming out of my heavy season of wow. grief. And I'm like so happy and lifted to wow. be out of that season. And I don't want people to hear I'm happy and I'm lifted to be out of that season. Yeah. That's like, I'm happy it's over. Happy and it's over. Yeah, like I just rushed no. through it. I want you all to be able to, as you're listening and taking in and resonating with the stories that we share, to understand that process is okay. The journey is okay.
Yeah.
You have to be able to process every feeling. You sometimes have to sit down for some seasons.
Sit down?
Yeah. And I'm not talking about, wait, we're not talking about spring, summer, winter, and fall. We're not. Because some people really confuse seasons with the weather.
Oh.
Let's think of seasons, because I really want people to understand what we're talking about. Seasons, the chapters of our life, the pages.
Oh, not just the chapter, but
no, the pages.
You have to read a couple of pages.
You do to understand the chapter. Amen. So yeah, I definitely have regarding to the grief.
Yeah.
I recently went through a breakup. Yeah, I was dating someone in 2022. And the relationship started to develop more and more. We ended up making it official in 2023
yeah.
of us being, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend. And, you know, things went well. It was my first, I would say, adult relationship.
Wow.
Yeah, adult relationship, meaning like we're grown. We know what we're doing. We know our, you know, the things that we have issues with in our childhood, the trauma. We're aware of these things. So I consider this is my first adult relationship. And it got to a point where, you know, family is involved and family is meeting each other. Family is traveling, you know, because his family was from out of state. They're okay. from Illinois.
Okay.
And my family lives here in Indy. So, you know, both of our families
yeah,
crossed the borders for each other. Yeah. So my family went down there. His family came to Indy for the holiday. So it wasn't a play thing.
Yeah.
You know, I was meeting all the family and
everybody.
Yeah,
did you meet grandma?
Honey, grandma, uncles, god sisters, god mamas, cousins, wow, nieces, in-laws. Yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
Honey, it was serious. So.
Yeah.
I ended up just this, you know, we were together for a full year and some change. Mm-hmm. We went to live together in what? I can't remember. 2024, we started living together. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it, we had a successful living adjustment, you
yeah.
know. The living adjustment was successful. It wasn't like, oh, we broke up because we lived together. And I think a lot of people get scared for that when it comes to living together. I think it's important to see and to experience that type of combination between two people. But we didn't break up because we moved in together. We broke up because we were misaligned.
Oh,
the purpose wasn't there. Yes. Misalignment is heavy on why we broke up.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Girl.
Yeah.
Breakups are not pretty.
They aren't. And after that season of it, I just want to back up, you know?
Yeah.
I want to back up.
Let's
back up.
What I hear is, well, you know, we connected. We saw that we like each other. We're getting to know each other for over a year plus. And then we got, I'm like, okay, there's some steps there.
Absolutely.
How
did
you guys even meet?
Oh, uh-huh. So we met. He, you know, slid in my DM.
Okay, so the DM worked.
Yes, honey. The DM at the time worked. But it wasn't easy. I wasn't really into him at first because I was just like, you coming off too, like, this is easy. So I didn't really give him the time of the day at that particular time in my life.
Yeah.
And then a few months later, I was talking to him when he DM'd me. I was talking to him for like a few minutes,
okay,
maybe like an hour max of just, communicating. And then after that, this was like in June of 2022.
Okay.
So we scale, like, we jump to August, right?
Yeah.
And he's a DJ. Back details.
Yeah.
We jump to August. I go to this event. Mm-hmm. It was a 4 p.m. in Soweto event, okay, that is pretty popular. And he's DJing at this said event.
Oh.
And I walked in. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I know him.
Yeah.
He, you know, I left him on red. The night goes on. I'm leaving. I did leave him on red. And the light, you know, he ends up doing his set. He walks past me. I didn't pay him any mind. And then I'm leaving out for the evening. And he stops me. He's like, hey, I'm so-and-so.
He sounded intentional.
Yes, he was. Very intentional. But he said, hey, yeah, I'm so-and-so. You know, we was talking on Instagram. He pointed that out.
Yeah, don't
yeah, don't act like you don't know. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, yeah, just message me back. Like, we can connect. And then, yeah, I acted like I didn't know him. But, honey, I knew him from the time I walked in and I saw him DJing. Yeah. Oh. So that's how we met.
Okay.
Yep.
So June was when the first initial interaction,
yes,
right?
The first initial.
And then you left him on red.
Yes.
Till August.
Yeah, a few weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then you get to August, you go to this event, and then you see this dude that you just left on red DJing, and you're,
yes,
trying to play cool.
Yeah, I was playing.
You know, you're aware that, yes, oh, this is the dude I just left on red, and then you're trying to head out. He's trying to get you, got your attention.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, just message me back. I'm pretty sure his mind is like,
girl,
I messaged you.
Right.
You just haven't responded.
Right. I messaged you. Why are you telling me to message you again? But he did.
He did.
He did. Absolutely.
And then did that get your attention more? Like, oh, wow.
I think seeing him in person, yeah, got my attention more, because I was like, he could have just let me walk away.
Yeah. Mm.
You know?
Okay.
But me being me, I'm like, you're going to message me again.
Yeah.
And we would always joke about that. And he would say, man, if you would have left, I wouldn't have just messaged you. I wasn't going to. And I'd be like, yeah, whatever. You would have messaged me. You would have messaged me.
She's like, well, I have the confidence that you're going to reach
exactly
out.
Again.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So then he messages you. And then what happened from there? Is it, are we going on dates?
Yeah. So we went, we scheduled a date.
Oh.
I have to do a pause.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
I have to potty again.
I was trying to. So yeah. So you guys had a date.
Yeah.
Who initiated the date?
Oh, honey, he did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he wanted to meet up. Yeah, he wanted to meet up and plan something.
Okay.
So we ended up hanging out the next week. And literally after that, we were like,
inseparable.
Yeah, literally.
Did it feel organic?
It did. I think for the time, I was 23 at the time, it felt very good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he seemed like he was intentional.
Yeah.
His words and actions were aligning?
Yeah, I would say that they were aligning, and I think that's the importance of seasons.
Mm,
it was what I needed at that season.
Mm, okay.
Without knowing better,
yeah,
and without going through a relationship, I got what I needed for that season.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're saying that sometimes some things are just for a season.
Some things are.
You don't want to hold on to it too long.
No.
Because you start overstaying.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wait, why is it summer but it feels like fall?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
The wisdom, the actions, the things that you learn, I needed that for the time that I was in.
Yeah.
Now, would I go through the same stuff and accept the same stuff as a now 26-year-old woman? No.
Okay. But there are some things you just felt like, well, I needed this.
Yeah.
It's easy. There's so much I learned.
I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's honesty.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, does that mean when we're grieving, we need to be honest with our grief? We need to be honest with, like, you know what? Yes, I just got my heart broken. Or maybe it's a mutual breakup. And it's like, but actually, how about what I did?
Right.
You know, there's some things that I did weren't cute and pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And you saying that, like, Oh, okay.
Yeah. You do have to be honest with yourself. Wow. And that's with and without grieving and knowing what, you know, what you're going through. Mm. In all transparency, you should have awareness and some level of self-awareness to be able to take accountability for what you put yourself in.
Yeah, because you made that decision.
You made the decision. Oof. And we're going to talk about the things that we can and cannot control. You have to take accountability for what you held on to.
She's speaking to me.
Yes.
Because you know what? You're right. Because there are times where we do know that this is not going to work.
It's
even from the beginning.
It's yes, from the beginning. You know, but it's not going to work. Yes.
You know, I think it's a thing when it comes to women. We just say, well, but it will work for me.
Yeah. Do we fall in love with potential? I watched a sermon, and I think it was Mike Todd at the time. Uh-huh. And I was watching his YouTube sermons, and they were really good. And it was this one that I was watching, and he was covering falling in love with, what did I just say? Potential instead of path. Potential versus the path.
Okay.
Now we getting all into crap. Are we sticking to the subject?
Okay. I mean, hey, it's grief. Just let us do our thing.
Okay? It'll unfold how it needs to.
The way it needs to.
Yes.
It's actually liberating and freeing someone right now. Mm-hmm. Like, someone who's gonna listen to this episode.
Yes.
They're gonna be like, "Wow, that was really freeing."
It was.
I didn't think that I was actually settling. Mm-hmm. Like not taking accountability for my actions, and I've been holding on to this breakup for so long, instead of like just taking accountability and saying like, "Hey, girl, you also participated in that."
Yeah,
it just wasn't one sided.
And it's sometimes,
you to that person in the first place. It's something that got you like, "Oh, let me hold on to this."
Right.
Yeah, you saying, and sometimes.
Sometimes you don't even realize that your grief, like what you're experiencing, is grief. You know, it took me, I made a reel on this on my Instagram page. It took me, like, me and him broke up this January, this past January.
Oh, wow.
It's June. It's June now.
Oh, wow.
Close, about to be July. And just a few weeks to, like, a month or two ago, I was talking to my mom, and she was like, "You're grieving."
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, "You're grieving."
She wasn't the one able to identify that you were in the-
Yeah. Because, you know, like, obviously you talk to people about it. And you talk to your friends about what's going on. But I was just like, I never experienced. I don't even want to call it a heartbreak for real. The aftermath of it. Because you have the heartbreak. But after the heartbreak. You have the grief.
Yes.
It's like the effects from it. Mm-hmm. The side effects from the heartache is the grief, because the heartache is full of emotions.
Yes.
It's your mind going everywhere. And then after that heaviness in your chest, the crazy thoughts subside.
Yes.
Now you're still having to deal with the after effects of it.
It's more of like the residue.
The residue, which is the grieving, because grief come and goes. And that's what a lot of people don't understand, and that's what I was struggling with, because I have deep issues, like we all have something. We all have something. I came up with a single mom and a unpresent dad, so I have like an abandonment father-daughter relationship. And after me and my ex broke up, my whole world felt like something was taken from me. Jesus. Because I was placed in this ideal family that I loved to be around. I loved his parents. I loved feeling included in things. I loved the phone calls that I would get, the small tokens of appreciation, then putting me in the kitchen to learn, and me and his mom is going out to dinner. Just like feeling like a family. Yeah.
Because that's something you didn't have.
Exactly.
You speaking a language.
Right.
Unreal.
So to have gone through that and break up with him, I felt robbed. I felt robbed in like somebody just took away. Like I felt undeserved. Like I didn't deserve what I experienced.
Wow.
And that's a feeling, yes, for to know that somebody's family,
yes,
is not even mine. And then to feel like it was taken from you.
You desired that.
I desired it.
You didn't get an opportunity to experience.
Yeah.
And you didn't even know that war was there until,
yeah,
you experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
And you just like, oh, there's a wound here that needs, yeah, to heal.
It was a crazy thing, but it comes and goes. Some days were better than the other. Yeah. Some days I've experienced a lot of like avoiding it,
yeah,
and just putting a little band-aid on it, you know, faking the front.
Yes, yeah, and someone said, "How are you doing, Rakia?" You'd
be like, "Oh, I'm good.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm good."
Until it's like, "No, Rakia, how are you
doing?" Yeah.
I think we need to be intentional. I think the reason why you'll be like, I'm good, is because you're like, I don't feel safe telling you what's going, mm-hmm, on in my life right now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that's why being around the right people that will hold those spaces for you, those, you know, for you to just be like, you know what, I'm having it rough.
Yeah.
Like, and because I think subconsciously sometimes too, when you're going through a breakup, you just feel like this person is tired of hearing about
the same thing. Yes. I'm tired of talking to my friends because they tired of hearing it.
They're tired of hearing me. Yeah. So you literally play everything in your mind because you're like, well, I don't want them to feel that way. That, yeah, you know, like I'm overwhelmed. Every time I've come around, I'm just talking about this one relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's been a year.
It's been a year.
About this, or it's been 6 months. But I was actually listening to, I think it's Mel Robin. She did an episode, yeah, with her daughter or something, mm-hmm, who went through a breakup. Mm-hmm. Because also too, I'm actually in the season of breakup.
Yes, Wasalia.
Yes. Yeah. So mine was 2 years. And I had to walk away from it. And it's not something to say I'm bashing this person.
Yeah,
and
of course.
It's a misalignment, like just alignment thing. I think one thing I was telling you even before we started this episode is like, true love, if you love someone, you should love them enough to let them go, mm-hmm, and actually meet the person that truly, you know, is for them.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that aligns with their vision. The
Come
goals.
On now.
And it doesn't mean you don't love the things that they want to do.
Yeah.
But you guys, like, there's the analogy that I give. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a slippers or shoes on your feet. And, you know, when you have it the right way, it feels good because the same direction, mm-hmm, you're moving, you're
comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Comfortable and everything. But when you put the right shoes, okay, the one that's meant for the right foot,
mm-hmm,
on the
you can't put your left on your right and your, yeah, right on your left.
And you start moving, you're moving, but it's still uncomfortable because, right, you're going opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean it's not for the foot. It is for the foot. It's just like the misalignment is there, yeah, so the uncomfortability, and it feels like you're just on like eggshell.
Mm-hmm.
You're second guessing.
Yeah.
You know, and then also too, you have some of the wounds that needs to heal as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One of the things I realized that I have people pleasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm happy that the Lord has delivered me from that, because now it's like, no, it's a complete sentence.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's also a complete sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And being bold to have this conversation and say, like, hey, I don't think this is going to work out.
Right.
And because of abandonment, right? Like, I have my dad in my life, I would say, because I'm a daddy's girl, but not present, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this, if I think about it, probably I just have my dad, like, constantly in my life, like, mm-hmm, a father. And even when he was there, wasn't like, there. Maybe like 6 months to a year. Like, maybe 6 months. Maybe when I became an adult, that's when, like, you know.
He was more.
It was more like, okay, yeah, maybe like 15, around the age of 15, and I had my dad. Mm-hmm. And I experienced my dad a little bit more.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then when I was like 5, 4, 2, 3, 4, something like that, I had my dad. That was it. Like those subtle,
yeah,
things. And I just kept on holding on to those pieces. I didn't know I had a void.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, when I date, I actually date for date because some of the things that I didn't see.
Gotcha.
I wanted.
Right.
Because I'm looking for the things that I saw in my dad.
Come on now.
I
think a lot of young girls do that. Yeah.
You basically want to marry your dad.
Right.
I don't think I want to marry my dad.
Right.
No, my dad used to cheat. I don't want that.
Yeah.
No. He wasn't a good husband. let me be honest, I don't want that, mm-hmm. right? So I didn't know those were some of the things that were there. And I had this wall up. Also, to trust is also another thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, this person is here. What, another heartbreak?
Yeah.
You're just looking for something that is going to happen. And
right.
It's just like, no, probably it's not. And probably maybe you just don't need to be in a relationship.
Exactly. Right. Come on now, because that's what it boils down to.
You just don't need to be. You need a heal.
You do.
You need a heal.
And yeah.
Maybe that person needs to heal, and you don't have to focus on their healing. They need to figure it out on their own. You cannot be a savior. You're not a savior. Jesus
no.
already saved.
Yeah.
He paid all on the cross. So
it's outside of your control.
Control. I realized also, too, I had a control problem. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people will be like, well, I don't know. You do.
Yeah.
You do have a control because you want to control the narrative.
Right.
You want to control how people actually see you.
And that's not. That's surface level. Why do you want to be in control?
Why do you want to be in control? Is it because you haven't been in control of your life?
Is it because somebody didn't give you enough attention? When you were younger? Come on now. If we're going to talk about it, we're going to talk about it.
No one didn't give you attention?
Right.
You didn't get the love.
Right.
Or someone said, oh, I'll do this, and they really
didn't do it.
So now when someone said they'll do this and they didn't do it, it's kind of like a trigger.
Right. No, I got it. I'll do it.
You want to wear the pants, baby.
Come on now.
So, yeah, walked away from that. it's real. It hurts.
Oh, my gosh.
I think a few days ago, I was having a rough day. Like, I was mourning. Like, I was, like, I cried even before we had the final discussion to go our separate ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I cried. I got in my car, kid. I got in my car driving around,
mm-hmm.
crying. The lights is turning red. I'm like, Lord, I know you're going to stop this car because the light is red. And I know when it's green, you're going to give me the ability to drive this car. But this is where I'm at. I'm hurt.
Yeah.
Why me? Why is this happening to me? I really care. What is wrong with me?
Right.
Don't I deserve love?
Come on now.
Why is happening for all my friends around? My friends are getting married.
Getting married. Having kids. Getting the house.
Why me? Why can't it happen for me? Lord, I'm literally being joyful for my friends and celebrating and interceding for them. Why?
I'm being vulnerable.
Yes. And I'm calling on your name. And you say if I call on the name that is above every other name. I know, you know, I'd be having a whole dialogue with the Lord. Like, I was just crying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was crying that I couldn't even sleep. The next day I had to go to work, my eyes were swollen up.
Girl, that was a hard cry.
I went to work. I just closed the door. Don't talk. Nobody should talk to me. I just focused on my laptop.
Yeah.
And just started working.
Mm-hmm.
After that day, I think I left work at 7 p.m.
Jeez.
I went in at 8. I left at 7 p.m. That's like how many shifts? How many hours? Probably.
Girl, 10.
10? Yeah. I literally.
11?
Yeah. I literally, from there, I just came back. I came back again, crying, feeling hurt. Because you start remembering the things.
Absolutely.
The things, and you're like, maybe, should I have done this better?
Mm-hmm.
Should I have not done this better? I think that's the initial phase. Where you're just gloating on the good things. But then, it also hit when the things that weren't good. That's when you know you're actually grieving.
Yeah.
Like.
Wait, repeat that?
You see, you do the good things. You gloat on the good things. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, you know, did I do this and that? Then you start thinking about the things that actually weren't good.
Right, yes.
Not so rosy one.
Yeah. And it was a lot of them, wasn't it? Yeah. It was a lot of them.
Yeah.
Let's not act like we, come on now. Yeah. We can't be conflicted.
No, like for that part. And you're like, wait, no.
Right.
Whoa, no.
Humble for a quick second.
Actually, the Lord was doing something here.
Yes, because everything that I had to go through to get to that good moment, was it worth it?
Was it worth it? Is that what I truly wanted?
Exactly, in a relationship or a marriage.
Yeah, in a marriage, in long-term wise. Because in the moment when you have those breakups, you're like, we can make it work. No, baby. The Lord is saving the both of you.
Mm-hmm. Potential. Women got it bad.
She said potential.
We got it bad. We will fall in love with potential.
Quickly.
Quickly.
We have a nurturing spirit.
We do, and I always, yes, I always talk about that.
We have a nurturing spirit. We want to nurture. We love to fix problems.
We do.
So we see someone, we say, oh, this is a project. Oh, this person, oh, yeah, I can work with it.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
Because guess what? If he wanted to, he would. If he wanted to. And that's, I believe in that.
Yeah.
I don't feel like a woman has to go in and fix a man. A man should know
what he needs to be fixed.
And want to fix it for his wife. For himself.
Not even for his wife. Because
for himself. No.
Later, you're going to be like, oh, I did this because of you. It's like, no. You did this because you actually wanted to do it for you.
Absolutely.
Not because you want to do it for me. Don't put that burden on me.
Absolutely.
Because then, if I don't meet your expectation, then there's this resentment happening. Because it becomes like, oh, I did this. Why you can't do this for me? Mm-hmm. I did this, you know, you did this. And we just did tick for tock. For like, well, because I did this and because you did this. It's like, shouldn't this be like love?
Yeah.
That keep no records of wrong? Shouldn't it be like, hey, you show up for me, I'm grateful. The season that you need me to show up for you, I'll show up for you. Shouldn't this be like we're building together? But I learned my lesson.
Honey.
I learned my lesson. I'm even feeling great today and yesterday, but the day before, I was still feeling it again.
Yeah.
I was just looking at myself like, Lord, what's wrong with me?
Nothing.
Amen.
We all got something.
It's like, is there something that I'm doing wrong? And then the pressure also too when you're getting older.
Yes.
You know we have like
biological clock. Yes. Well, those women got it.
So you're just like,
it will hit.
It hit. People be like, no. I think be honest with yourself. There's that part also too. So internally, you're also putting pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
Because you're like, my biological clock.
And then we even aside from the anatomy, whatever, anatomical, whatever clock. Biological clock is probably what it boils down to.
Yeah.
We women I only got about 9 years until it's like dangerous for women to start having kids.
Yes.
You know, once you get to 35 and up, you got to make a decision quick, fast, or your child is going, if you want kids and don't have kids at that time, it's going to become an issue because now you're dealing with conditions. You're dealing with the barriers that's going to come with it. So, like, yes, it's a fairy tale. It's very cute when you're young and when you're, like, approaching 20s and you're in and out of these relationships. But it also makes sense. You know, we women are nurturing. We do want to settle down. We do want to have the kids.
Yeah.
And it all folds into one another.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like we women mature faster. It's not even a feeling. I'm pretty sure that's a fact.
I know for sure it's a science. It's scientifically true.
We mature faster than men. And men take longer. And a lot of men, we go through these relationships. I can tell you right now, even the relationship that I just ended, he cannot tell me that he, like, we had a dinner. He came back into town because when we moved out, he went. Like, our release was up on April 12th.
Yeah.
He was gone back home by the first week of April. When I tell you, when I had to sit, we had a 2-bedroom, 1.5 upstairs, downstairs townhouse. When I tell you, I had to sit in this townhouse that was gutted out with all of his stuff. It was the craziest feeling ever to have to sit forcefully in something.
Sit.
The room that was the room that was just ours a few months ago turned into his bedroom.
Yeah.
It's completely empty now.
Wow.
And I went in, I think this is like the last day, because he came after he moved some of his stuff out and moved back home.
Yeah.
He still had a few things left in the apartment. And he came back to get the rest of his stuff, and it was like a Thursday or something, and I had work, and I go to work a little late.
Yeah.
So I go to work at like 11. He was, you know, I wake up, get ready for work, I go downstairs, he's downstairs, and I'm like, all right, I'm about to go to work, because I know after I get leave work, it's done.
Yeah,
he'll be done. So he gave me a hug.
Wow.
And then I go to work, you know, I'm going through the day, get home off 7, the whole place, like all his stuff is gone. I go upstairs to the room that we once shared before our breakup, and I just sat in the closet.
Oh, Lord.
And, like, having, the room was so big that it echoed. Like, my cat was scared to go in there because of the echo and how, like, empty it was. When I tell you, it was the most, like, it was just emotional. And I had to sit with that, the thoughts. Like, I felt myself going into a depression. Jesus. Because it was just, like, having to question yourself after a breakup. And this is when the grief started. Because now I'm questioning, like, everything about, like, did you not care? I felt taken advantage of, because to me it was like, you knew this whole time the decision that you made was a decision that you already had. This was not new for you. So to feel like you can just up and leave, and I, like, I'm on social media, I'm seeing what you would rather be doing.
Whoa.
That messed me up, Wansalia, seeing him, because, you know, he was in the business of entertainment.
Yeah.
When you see somebody active and acting like, even when we broke up, like, I would just come home and walk past the room going into our guest bedroom, because that was, like, more so my room. It was decorated and stuff. But seeing him just, like, play the game, talking to his friends as if, like, nothing happened.
Whoa.
When I, that is so, and then, like, after he actually moved out and, like, the rooms and stuff was empty, seeing him post flyers and stuff on social media and pictures of himself, that, like, it was just like,
wow, some of the things that probably you guys talked about.
Yes. I had to, like, it just seemed like every single thing was just like, this, it hurts to see what somebody would rather be doing. Like, I'm happy that that's what you want to be doing with your time, you know, but it just hurts when you see people like, this is what makes you happy. And he once told me that, like, our relationship isn't a priority.
Man,
and that,
we don't be listening.
But that is what let me know misalignment. We are not on the same page. Every feeling, thought, emotion that I had was stemmed from the fact that despite how much we would talk about it, we had couples therapy. Oh, we would try to schedule at least one once a week, do something. None of that matters if you are misaligned. And in the Christian world, those who are married, that is the equate term of being evenly yoked.
Like
come on now. When for the single folks and the unmarried, you're misaligned.
Like, you are. Like, what?
Yes, that is real. When you are not working on something, and me being me, and it's to a fault. It's not good, because I think it's the reason why us women, young girls, jump in and out of relationships. We're uncomfortable with being alone, and, you know, that feeling of,
you just said alone and then loneliness.
Yes.
There's alone and then there's loneliness.
Yes.
I feel like I've been dealing with, like, just loneliness, and even in a marriage, you can still be in the marriage and still be lonely.
Yeah.
So you need to work on that lonely, that lonely piece, because no one else can give it to you. That void, that thing, you can fill it out with. That thing about it, you know, one minute you take that trip, you're happy and stuff. But if you're truly dealing with loneliness,
come on now,
and you don't deal with it, it doesn't matter if the bright man walked through those doors. You don't know how to handle that. You haven't dealt
exactly
with it.
And you haven't worked on you, so you kind of don't deserve
it.
You don't deserve the right man if he was to walk, knock on that door.
Yeah.
You don't deserve
it.
Because you're inflicting every past hurt, worry, stress
on someone's son or someone's daughter. Actually,
somebody who could be your man. That's
all
why
you haven't taken the time
to grieve. Come on. Yes. To grieve. Yes.
You.
And to process, sit down.
Sit down. Don't let a breakup make you to just sit down and actually really think about your life and actually really think about. But it's okay if you have to go.
If you have to,
for you to really think about it and say, "Oh, no, once a year, relax."
Relax. Stop. Like, you don't stop giving everybody your attention. You just went through a whole. Why are we going through situationships? Why are you in a situation? I was in a situationship.
Why are we in a situation?
Why are we in a situationship?
Because we have some brokenness that needs to be fixed, but we don't want to fix it. We think we're good, and we let social media tell us that we're good. No, sis, you're not.
You're not.
You're not. You need help.
You do.
You need help.
And you need it seriously. Like, it's stop putting, we as a woman have to stop putting expectations on the journey of grief and healing. It is not a 2-day step.
It is not.
It is not a 2-week step. It's forever.
You
might wake up and feel great. That doesn't mean it's over.
Thank you.
It don't mean it's over.
Be good today and the next day.
All it's gonna take is for you to smell that man's perfume when you walk into to Macy's. Honey, I can tell you that happened to me. That happened to me when I would go down to his parents' place when we was together. And his parents' house always smelled very good. Just, you know, clean. They had the little, they was bougie, so they had a lot of stuff. And I remember I was at a conference this year. I was at my Best Buy conference in Minnesota. Honey, they had us at, I forgot the hotel. Forget the hotel. We walk in the lobby.
Yeah.
I smelled the same
perfume.
Like the air or the room freshener. When I tell you, it almost messed me up. Wow. Then I you know, proceed. Me and my teens, I think it was for a break. You know, we have spring break. I think it was spring break.
Yeah.
So this is like actually right before the Best Buy conference. We take the kids to escape room.
Don't tell me someone did.
It smelled just like his parents' house. When I tell you I sat down at the escape room and I almost got so emotional to the point that I was crying. Because we think that grief and healing are done when I'm done crying.
No,
first of all, that's not what that means.
That's
and if...
No, that is not what that means.
It's not.
That's just probably the first step.
Honey, it was. Honey, because I was crying for days, for weeks, and I would tell myself, okay, I'm done crying. And then the next day, I'm laying in bed, and I'm like, why is it taking me so long to go to sleep? Because I'm used to sleeping with somebody else.
Wow.
Now I'm crying because I'm thinking about all this stuff, and I'm laying there. Like, you know, you just go through the whole cycle.
The text messages.
The like, laughter, walking past each other, the meal shared together, like, but I'm happy that is over.
Yeah.
Because all it takes for me now is to be like, you somebody else's that they got to deal with.
Yeah.
I don't have to deal with that anymore, but I hope and pray. And I wrote him a letter. I wrote a letter for him.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. You know why someone said in order to process grief also too, sometimes it's just writing a letter.
Write that letter. And I sent it to him. At first, I wasn't.
Yeah.
It was a 3-page letter. Okay. And it wasn't disrespectful. It wasn't bashful.
Yeah.
It was honest, transparent, but also very stern in what I meant.
Yeah. Wow.
It was the best feeling ever.
Did you feel like a weight lift?
I did. I was happy that he got to see and read my true thoughts. I gave it to him the day that he, or a few days, either the day that he left officially, or like a few days later. I think it was the day that he left officially. I sent it to him.
Oh, wow.
Because I knew I didn't have to see him again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you still follow him on social media?
So I'm glad you asked. Yeah. So when, you know, I did go through the breakup with him initially, and I would see the stuff that he would rather be doing,
mm-hmm.
it would, like seeing his name, DJ seeing his friends,
because
he was plugged into the network, the whole network with DJs.
Yeah.
So it got to a point where seeing his name or seeing that he liked somebody's stuff that we had a mutual friend with, seeing, oh, DJ such and such liked this picture.
Yeah.
I had to mute his stuff all the way around. I had to mute his posts and stories on Instagram. I have his... Like, if he was to text me right now, it would be, like, notifications is off, but he could call me.
Mm-hmm.
it's the same for Facebook. Like, I don't see his post on Facebook. The only time I would see is if, because all his family, or most of his family and I are friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
So if they tag him in something, then I would see it because they posted him. So I've like seen him a few times on Facebook because people that I'm friends with his family have like posted him and tagged his name or something. But I literally had to create boundaries and like methods and strategies for me to be able to heal properly because I was not ready to like just see that. And so I had to mute some of his friends too, because you know, if they're DJs, they're all sharing each other's stuff. So I was just like, and these are the same people that then came to our house, you know? So it's like, yeah.
That is real. That is like, whoa, I have to see all of this now.
Yeah.
Wow. So in terms of like the mutual friends that you guys share, do you feel like they needed to take a side? Did you ever?
Oh, so me and his friends weren't that, we're not even close. No, his friends was his friends.
Okay.
And it never got to a point of like I communicate with his friends or his friends communicate with me.
So there was that boundary.
Like, yeah, because.
Like, they come around. And it's like, hey, that's my friend. You just be more pleasant and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it wasn't like a, hey, what's up, Rakia? Da-da-da-da. It wasn't anything like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was there a huge age gap between the both of you?
So me and him, he's 2 years older than me.
Okay.
So he just turned 28 this April, and I'm 26.
Okay.
So a 2-year age gap, but I also, he just wasn't where he wanted to be in life.
Okay.
And I am a person that once I'm in a relationship, I'm all in. And that's one of the things that I have learned. Yeah, downsides of who I am and my characteristics. I don't like who I am. I shouldn't say that. I love who I am in a relationship. But I don't like the unhealed version of me in relationships.
That piece.
Yeah.
That piece. It's like, no, because I realized, I think I was having a conversation with some of my other friends, and I was just talking about like, you know what? I'm a nurturing person. I love to host. I love to cook.
Yep.
I love to
plan and travel and talk about the future.
I love having deep conversations.
Same.
And sometimes I felt like, well, this person, that's not what they want to do right now. You know what I mean? This is just not on the list. And you know I'm a woman of faith, so that's important to me. And I'll always be asking those type of questions. Like, okay, what does that look like and stuff? This like, and I also took a step back and said, you know what, this person is on their journey.
Yeah.
Let them be on their journey. But it's okay too. Let them be on their journey. You don't have to be there. You can exit.
Yeah.
While they're on their journey. But sometimes we feel, it feels like you want, sometimes we feel like I have to stay because I want to see the complete, that's control.
Right. Yeah.
That's you trying to control the narrative. You cannot control the narrative. You cannot control how God is going to move.
Yeah.
In someone else's life. And if that's not something that you're ready to sit around and wait for, exit.
Yeah, exit, stage left.
Yeah. Stage left.
Stage left.
And let someone else come who has been built to do that. If not, a resentment would build.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean that you are weak or you're incapable. That means that you have enough courage and integrity
to walk away.
To walk away. So what if another person, because this is my thing. This is how I literally dealt with my negative thoughts of feeling like, oh, I'm second guessing myself. I'm sorry, I'm touching the cords, but I'm second guessing myself. I literally had to remind myself of like, oh, like we could have been X, Y, and Z. And how come we're not friends? We didn't have a friendship foundation, which I think is crucial in a relationships nowadays. So that was an impact.
Yeah.
But I would literally remind myself, like, Rakia, you was dealing with somebody who was basically A-okay in a lot of stuff. For somebody to tell you that the relationship isn't a priority, that they can't plan a date, they couldn't guarantee flowers once a week, they couldn't, like, they could not plan a date. Not that they like were incapable, but
just wasn't a priority.
No.
Wow.
That's bare minimum. And so I have to remind myself of all those things when I would feel like, why didn't I deserve the family and being able to be included in that continuously?
Yeah.
Girl, did you want, because you fallen in love with potential.
Yeah.
That's what's the path? That's what Mike Todd said. What's the path? The path, is current, potential is future. It's a maybe, it's a what if, it's a 50-50, maybe not even 50-50.
Maybe zero.
Maybe zero. Why are you falling in love and painting a picture?
You know what? We've been wired as women.
Yes.
So the moment someone said hi to us, we already see them. That's my husband. This is a kid. The kids are going to be looking. We go to bed thinking, oh my God, our kids are going to look like this. Oh, yes. They talk this way. Oh, yes. We're thinking everything versus the character.
This man hasn't even stopped talking to all the women yet that he talking to. And we done thought about the wedding. And I got that bad. I got it guilty.
I'm guilty. You're like, yeah. Immediately, if you haven't talked to someone in a long time, and the first person that says hello to you, you just be like, well.
Mm-hmm.
And
they give you a hug. Yes. They sigh. They look at you. You like.
They try to be gentle. Mm-hmm. They have all the other attributes that you haven't even experienced in prior relationships.
God, is that my husband?
Is this one?
God ain't confirm or deny. You already
planning. And you want God to bless it.
But you aren't ready.
And you want God to bless it. How you gonna make all the plans without God? But then now you want him to bless the plan that you actually started without.
But then
him.
You acted confused when you're going through with the plan that you fell in love with that God in A-OK. And now you upset and you crying.
Because
we
God,
confused.
God is not saying anything.
You ain't give God a chance. God ain't lift his finger off the dang own buzzer. And you done already gave him the green check mark.
Like
this is America's best talent. America's Got Talent, whatever it is.
He said, like, you're just like, oh yeah, Lord, I brought him. It's like, oh, now you want to because the heartbreak is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Now is it because you realize that, no, this is actually not the best that I have for you?
It ain't.
Huh? Oh, now you want to trust me more? Oh, because, and someone said something. Someone said, we get closer to God when we go into a breakup.
I think that's true.
Like, when you go through a breakup, they said, when your walk with the Lord becomes really stronger,
yeah,
is when you go through a heartbreak. Because that would make you lean on the Lord so fast. Not, you thought you had strategists, you had your own understanding. No, God becomes like, oh, Lord, here I am.
Your best friend.
Lord, please, I'm feeling so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
At night, you don't got nobody to talk to. You definitely need to talk to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your thoughts, everything you have to make. Like, Lord, please take charge of those things. So, yeah, grief. So, like, what are some of the things that you use? Like, you've been using? Because yours started in January.
Oh, honey, yeah. So, I'm like, I'm almost to a year. I tried to give myself a year of being single.
Yeah.
So that way I'm not running into the next thing.
Thank you. Love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Because, you know, someone said something. I think it was one of my friends. She was like, oh, what's my, you know, there are other people that were interested in you. Have you even given them the chance? I said, chance from where?
Right.
I said, I don't even have
I'm so picky now.
I said, I don't even have the opportunity, the ability,
to
the
think.
Capacity
right.
to give anybody a chance right now. What I want to do is work on Wasalia because guess what? You take you wherever you go.
Yeah.
You don't take someone else. You take you. I take Wasalia wherever I go. So if I cannot work on Wasalia, if I cannot work on those things that needs to be worked on,
mm-hmm.
I will keep bleeding.
Yep.
I will keep trying to get trying to want validation from men and trying to the same cycle again, over and over, over and over. Insanity is basically you doing the same thing over and over and thinking
a different result. You insane, baby.
Like, that's just not what's going to happen. So it's either once again you work on you right now and fix those wounds, those abandonment issues,
mm-hmm.
right? Those
at external external validation. You should be able
yourself.
Come on now.
What does it look like to love Rakia?
Mm-hmm.
Like, does Rakia love herself? Does Wasalia, do you even love yourself?
Why are you putting your love in the hands of other people?
Yeah. Someone else's validation.
Yeah.
Someone telling you you're beautiful. Don't you already know that you've been wonderful?
Right.
Made by God? Like, he created you for a purpose?
Amen.
Why don't you want to do the things that God has already called you to do because you're waiting for a man to actually blow first?
Waiting before you feel good. Why take a man to know that you... Come on now.
Like, why do you even need all of that? So I'm literally learning now. Like, as I grieve, I think, like you said, I agree with you because, girl, I've been going to it. 1 minute I'm like, Kiki, and the next minute I'm like,
mm-hmm. Cuckoo, cuckoo. Yeah. Kiki and then cuckoo.
When you see your friends with their husband.
True.
And, you know, and stuff, but I think that's what the single and soaring is there for.
Mm-hmm.
For you to be able to, even in the, like, hey, there are times while you're soaring to their grief. I think about, you think about the birds. When they're soaring, they're flying. The storm happens, though.
Yeah.
They're still in that storm. They're still soaring.
And they got to depend on their resources to be protected. Okay. Shelter. What's your shelter? That's the question we need to end on. What's your shelter?
What's your shelter?
Is it strong enough?
That part. Or is it like...
Because the grief is the thunderstorm. Yeah. So how are you shielding yourself and protecting yourself in this thunderstorm?
Or are you just letting your emotion run wild?
Your wings get wet.
Over and over.
Over and over. You keep flying in the rain. Why are you flying? Take a break. This season is meant for you to learn.
Don't rush it.
Stop rushing through
that
storm.
Don't rush out of it.
No.
Don't rush out of it.
Enjoy it.
Soak in it. It's okay.
Embrace it.
We don't like the uncomfortable.
We don't.
But I think that's where growth happens.
You cannot grow in comfortability. I say that all the time. If you're comfortable, you are not growing.
You're not growing.
You're not learning.
You're just stuck.
And that's a gross feeling. Waking up. Eating the same thing, going to work, doing the same thing, coming off.
Ooh, that was good.
You're not growing.
That was good.
You cannot grow. And the moment you feel discomfortable, it's probably because it's a decision that you need to make.
Yep.
It's a decision that you need to make. Yeah, it's a decision you need to make. And that decision is going to lead to some type of change. But until you start making decisions is when.
Yeah.
That's when growth happens.
Yeah. Ooh, that's so good.
You're going to keep grieving. Every grief has its own chapter. You shouldn't be grieving.
It does.
For a lifetime.
Yeah.
It's okay to have remnants after seasons of grief.
Yeah.
But you are going from the grief. It goes heartbreak, grief, healing. Yeah. Healing is forever.
Amen.
Grief is a few seasons.
Healing is forever.
Healing is not, just like how they say therapy. You shouldn't be in therapy for the rest of your life. Therapy is supposed to help you navigate some stuff, give you the proper tools, resources, methods, strategies, and you use it for your healing.
Thank you.
You're supposed to be in therapy because you're grieving.
Are you in therapy?
You in therapy because you experienced the heartbreak, you're grieving, and now you're trying to heal. What is you doing?
Are you just sitting there?
You ain't doing nothing. Take a trip.
What do you like to do?
Right.
Like, I realized that I haven't been going to the gym, and I went to the gym. And it was so, I felt so good, because I love the gym anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I said, okay, I love to cook. I stopped cooking for a while, and I'm starting back cooking again.
Her food today was so good, girl. She made, that's why I'm using the bathroom so much.
And I said, let me cook again. Like, you know, I love hosting people. Let me get, I remember mm-hmm. you told me once, Leah, If you actually host a Bible study,
I would come.
Yeah, she said no. Once there, how about you bring other women? You know, host a Bible study,
mm-hmm.
like cook and host people. You know, she said I would come. She said yeah. Once you need to do that more often. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And I wasn't doing that.
And I wonder why the things that we be loving to do gets we lose sight of it.
Because
we're distracted. Shouldn't no person distract you. That person should be encouraging you.
Yeah.
Pouring into your cup. Why is your cup empty?
Why is your cup empty?
That's why you grieving. Because that cup is empty. But you have a you ain't healing properly.
Yeah.
Because that cup is empty.
So, I heard journaling.
Absolutely. I journal. I love a journal.
I know my friend told me, maybe you should journal.
I love journaling.
She's like, yeah, journal. Like, sometimes I'll write my thoughts out.
Mm-hmm.
I would say to like the notes, like, today and stuff. So generally, I like taking walks.
Yeah.
That's where you'll see me at Holiday Park. That's
gotcha.
That's my park.
I caught her at Holiday Park the other day. I said, Wansley, is that your car?
Yeah.
I always tell by the lip sticker.
If I'm feeling so overwhelmed and stressed and stuff, I will go to the park and take a walk. I like the sun. I'm happy the weather is nice outside.
Yeah.
What are some advice you'll give somebody who's listened to this episode and said, like, you're saying healing, you're saying grieving, but I don't really know where to start. What would be something you'll give them? And what are some things that's actually helped you, you know, on this journey? Because you're like 6 months in.
Yeah. I would say I think it depends on the person and what they're going through. Okay. I also think it depends on your own interest.
Okay.
I know that in my season of grief, mm-hmm. it took time. Okay. I don't want people to expect it to look like, oh, you jumping up and you yeah. going to a real throwing class. Because maybe you are avoiding some things. I think after the season of grief and you're starting to heal from that grief is when you start to get back into the habits, the healthy habits mm-hmm. that you create. If you like to attend concerts, mm-hmm. go to a concert. If you love to travel, plan you a weekend trip from Friday to Sunday. Go to Chicago for the weekend, and that don't mean you got to spend a buck. Go sit in a hotel, in an Airbnb, sit in your car. Honey, when I tell you, some of the things that I would do after the breakup, I started to sit in my car. I would get food.
Yeah.
And I would sit in my car and watch TikToks. I would park in whatever nearest big parking lot, and I would sit. Because it made me feel good about I think I think we sometimes forget about free will. You know?
I give you free will.
You got free will to just go. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, you just have to remind yourself and give yourself time and grace and patience. Yeah. And you have to trust yourself. If you, whatever you were doing, even if you don't know what you was doing, we have a lot of people around us that are parents.
Yeah.
And a lot of parents were young parents. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them didn't have a life, or the life that they thought that they were about to have, it had to be focused on a child. Yeah. So now it's like, if the question for you is, well, I've never had the time. Yeah. I don't know who I am. Well, you have time now to make a life.
Yeah.
Go do something. You have free will. And I think a lot of it stems, because this is something that I deal with too, is fear of doing stuff alone. I don't want to go to the festival because I'm going to be by myself. But the feeling of liberation I give myself, because I have a lot of, not a lot, I suffer from social anxiety, so I can resonate with that. And, you know, I want to be transparent to people who, and sensitive to people who deal with that, because it is a thing. But I think giving yourself baby steps, going to a new store by yourself, going to a small class. I went to a wheel throwing class for pottery by myself. And it feels liberating when you put yourself in different rooms. You know, that feeling is incomparable. When you're like, dang, it make you want to go take a trip by yourself. Yeah. By yourself. By yourself. Wow. Yes, it is a great feeling. So that's always my advice to, like, my mother, because she had me at 16 going on 17, I think. So she was young, and up until now, she's been a mom. So she doesn't have she doesn't know what to do with herself. You know, so I don't think that there's an ending to that, figuring out who you are. I think that's actually a great way to start, because you have a blank canvas.
Ooh,
you know, make up something, go do something, go on a girl's trip. I started the book club, you know, I have my own book club. Yeah.
What book are you guys reading?
So we just started, I started a book club called Cozy Collective. We finished the first one. We had our first session in May. So the second book that we're reading now is called Black Girl Call Home by Jasmine Manns, I believe.
Okay.
So, excuse me.
Love to read. That's what we're
saying. And I do like to read poetry specifically, but I'm big on creating friendships and connections with people. And it's not just like a women's book club, but it is mostly women who are in it. But I'm just really, because, you know, as you get older, it's harder to create friendships. And I really want to grow in my friend. Yeah, granted ones, because everybody's on different paths. Some people got kids, move away, their careers is taking off. Some people are just like, don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So I always wanted to be and have like people that I could depend on and call my friend. So that's really been my push for the book club, and also doing something that's different, because you're not going to like how many people, you know, they got a book club, you know?
Yeah.
So I mean, there's people out there that got book clubs. It's not unique, but
you're one of one.
Yeah. So, Yeah.
That is good.
It's just started something, you know? I feel like there was another thing that I did too, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
That's good.
Yeah.
I took a lot from that as well. Since I'm fresh in my process.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I would tell somebody is like, don't even point the finger at the person.
Do not. Yeah, that doesn't do anything.
Internally.
Yeah.
It's not going to benefit you. You pointing the finger, it keeps you in that path.
Mm-hmm.
You're just on that
route. And you ain't perfect.
You're not. You also weren't perfect in that relationship.
Yeah, you were. There were things.
So there were things that you did.
Yeah. Like, and that's just the reality.
One of the things I realized that I probably didn't have much time for that like time.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense. I created time, but one of the things I heard, like, you don't create time. You
mm-hmm.
don't create time and stuff like that. Maybe that's one of the things also too that might have been. But I know misalignment was a thing. I'm not saying there are things that can't work out.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord wants something to work out, it's going to work out, right?
Yeah.
But then there's God's perfect will, and then there's also his permissive will.
Yeah.
Right? So his permissive will allow things like that to happen,
mm-hmm.
and he's still going to use it for his glory.
Yeah.
But his perfect will, probably he don't even want you to go through all of that heartbreak and all of that hustle and bustle just because, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned, like, you know what? I just want to stay in God's perfect will. I don't want to be in the permissive will. Like, Lord, please don't let me fall in that category of, like, one, you know, in that permissive will piece. I want to stay right here.
Yeah.
It's your perfect will. So I realize that I'm not perfect. I realize that also, too, like, when you said do stuff, I need to do more stuff.
Yeah.
Things that I'm not used to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, quote, unquote, things that I'm not used to. Maybe try something different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to. I learned also to maybe I can be stuck in my own ways.
Ooh.
That I need to work
stagnancy.
On. Because sometimes people think it's like, no, it's not about the person. I'm probably stuck in my own ways because I have these things that I want to do and that's what I want to do. And you can't tell me anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want a, you know, partnership and a relationship, you need to do that. So I think this time, that's why I say single and soaring, because I'm really soaring, learning.
Yeah.
How to abide in Christ. Like, how to walk with the Lord. What does that look like? Because there's a difference between if I'm working for God and I'm walking with him.
Yeah.
When you're working with somebody, there's movement. When you're mm-hmm. working for somebody, you just have these patterns that you have to do every day.
Yeah.
Like, I work. But then when I'm walking with you, we can walk this direction one day. We'll open the other direction. We're taking a drive. Like, it's just different each
mm-hmm.
day. So I'm learning that as well. Like Rakia said, please journal. She said it's been helpful. Do things that you usually won't do. Love on yourself.
Absolutely.
Right? Buy the food that you want to buy. Sit in our car. Read that book. Go to that conference.
Yes.
Right?
Go to a conference. Join a fellowship.
A fellowship. Like, just do personal development. I think one of the things that I'm learning is, like, just that personal development as well. Not putting my needs behind.
Yeah.
Like, prioritizing myself.
Prioritize yourself.
Prioritize yourself. Don't just put yourself like, oh, no. That's fake humility. If you're just, you really want to do the stuff, but you just want other people, no. Work on you.
Yep.
Work on you, sis. Work on you, bro. But yeah, those are the things I would say.
That's good.
Yeah. This episode was interesting.
I loved it.
It was interesting because we didn't even know how we're going to go with it.
We didn't. It
we
ended
did.
Up being free flow.
The way it wanted to
go. I trusted it, though. I trusted it was going to be comfortable.
Yeah. But yeah, guys, that's what we have for you guys. You guys already know, before we end, we usually like, okay, how can people find you?
Oh, great. So I am on Instagram at Queen Kia. Kia is spelled Q-U-I-Y-A.
Okay. And we'll actually put it in the description as well, so you can follow
us. Yes, please.
And if you're actually following us on Instagram, the Single and Soaring Podcast, definitely she's going to be tagged, so you can see her information. And you get to, you know, watch her journey as well. She's not beginning this new season.
I am, yes.
This is literally a new season for her. And she, like she said, she's just trusting the Lord.
Absolutely.
And understanding what free will looks like in this season.
Absolutely.
Because, like, sometimes we forget that we have free will. That's something I took away from Rakia while she was talking. Like, sometimes we forget that we have free will.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we really do forget.
You can just
that.
Get up and go,
like,
right now.
Go.
Yeah.
Like, you have the freedom. Blank canvas.
Yeah.
Funny enough, one of my friends liked to say blank canvas. Like,
mm-hmm.
Hey, God has given you a blank canvas.
Come on now, resonance.
Resonated.
Yeah.
So, like, you have blank canvas. Like, start all over. It's okay. Don't be afraid to start all over.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the fear of being alone.
Come on now.
There's so much nugget that I took away from the fear when she was talking. But I'm like, you need to listen to this episode. But yeah, I think I've been blessed. I hope this episode will bless you when it get released. Be ready, though. It's be dropping Thursday now.
Yes. Ask questions, too.
Thank
so we can answer those questions. Yes.
Leave a comment. Raquel will be back. Don't think this is
I will be back.
So yeah, do you want to do us the honor and just close the episode out in a prayer? Yes.
Well,
Raquel's gonna pray for us.
Okay, I will pray for us. Thank you, Ancelia. Dear God, thank you for bridging the gaps between confusion and confidence, amen, allowing us to understand the importance of grief, amen, healing, and heartbreak. Amen. We bless those who are dealing with circumstances that covers the idea of grief, and we hope that you provide them with clarity as they move forward in their journeys. Amen. Dear Lord, please cover everybody in your strength. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
Amen.
Bye.